Jason Caldwell from inside the Auburn Tigers, joining us here on the Abby Award-winning Sports Call. Jason, we appreciate the time. How are things going in your world?
Going good, guys. Going good.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us, and glad things are going well for you over there. Auburn baseball. How about the baseball team, Jason, with a big-time win last night over the number one team in the country in Arkansas?
Yeah, it shows you the importance of getting a couple of those arms back in key spots and being able to almost put together the rotation like you had it in the preseason, or at least the planning stages of it, where you're able to, Cody Greenhill on a Friday night, you know, we go to Carson Skipper, and then Mason Barnett as a closer. You know, that was kind of the path that they thought coming into the season. And then, obviously, you know, Cody has a foot injury. Then, you know, Richard Fitz has a foot injury. Jack Owen, you know, injures, dislocates the finger before, you know, the season even starts. So you've gone without three of your weekend starters. Cody Greenhill only missed a week, but he hasn't been full speed yet. He looked closer last night, and that was the key for this team to beat Arkansas 2-1. Big-time pitch performance for them. And, you know, you're looking for all the things that they've been through. They lost five games by two runs or less in the league out of those six. They've been right there. Still did it last night without getting that key hit, that clutch, you know, two-out hit with runners in scoring position that I think is going to come for this team. And if it starts to come and they get a little bit more consistency, get those arms back healthy, then I think this team's got the ability to make a run. You know, we'll see. And tonight, obviously, big just for Jack Owen to be back in the starting role for the first time this year. And can he give them, you know, four or five innings? I don't think we'll see him any longer than that. But can he get you into the game and you know, shut down this powerful Arkansas offense enough that you can go out and maybe get a lead early? Because I mean, if you get behind Arkansas, you're in a world of hurt, because they've got so much depth and so much pitching that you got to stay in front of them and make them chase you.
Jason, you kind of answered my question there in that answer, but we got Jack Owen getting his first start of the year coming off that injury. We saw a little bit of him last week. What are you looking for in his first start of the season against Arkansas?
Yeah, I think it's for him is location, and can he get that velocity, you know, up rate? That's about where he's going to be. Can he stay there for two or three or four innings? You know, that kind of thing. You know, how much stamina will he have? You know, because he hasn't, you know, he's thrown, you know, three and a third innings, I think it's total, maybe three innings total. That's right around in there, but only a couple of appearances. You know, his first one was 2 weeks ago at Ole Miss, didn't go very well. Last week, two innings, and he pitched really well and then gave up a run with two outs in you know, the second inning there, and a couple of little C&I singles and kind of those things. But I thought, you know, can he land the breaking ball? Can he throw it for strikes? That's where he has to live. He has to kind of pitch like Tom Glavine did a little bit, where, you know, he's not going to overpower people, but, you know, location against a team that, you know, they lead the country in home runs. You know, this is a team that can make you pay. So can Jack Owen locate and can he sustain it for three or four or five innings? To me, that's the thing to watch.
Jason, I know it's still early in conference play, and so this is probably – it is too early to be asking this, but at what point – says Auburn, I know they've been unhealthy with their pitching staff. I know their hitting has been pretty good. At what point does Auburn start to examine what it's going to have to do to get back in the NCAA tournament? Because I know, like I said, it's really early. They're around 500 right now. Lord knows they've had their share of injuries with their pitching staff. But is that even something they think about in the regular season?
No. Having covered a team at Auburn that started the year 0-9 in SEC play, You can't change anything other than that game that day. So if you're Auburn, that's what you do. You focus on, hey, let's win today, and then we'll worry about tomorrow. That's how you have to approach it. You can't worry about. Then you told them up at the end and play a tough schedule. When you talk about, you know, playing out in Texas and playing Oklahoma and Baylor, Texas A&M, and Boston College was a good team when they came here. They kind of shuffled a little bit late, but so you look at this one and go, and look. We've done what you've done, but it's built some depth maybe for later in the year that'll be vitally important. You know, Joseph Gonzalez, a true freshman, will get to start tomorrow, but we've seen Trace Bright have to step up and become a starter in SEC play. You know, Blake Burkhalter, Carson Swilling from Smith Station. These guys have pitched some valuable innings that now they can build on and work on. So I think if you're Auburn, you just have to focus on today. That's what you do. Is you got one day, and then you worry about tomorrow.
Jason, looking at the Auburn Tigers getting set to take the field about an hour from right now, what does this team need to do to win this series on the road at a very, very good Arkansas?
Yeah, I mentioned earlier, I think you got to get into the game. The recipe for them, you know, in losing games has been being behind early. Like I said, you get behind this Arkansas team early, and you're in trouble because they got so much pitching, and you know they got you know. We saw Kevin Copps last night, who's really good, but they got a guy named Paulette, who's a big-time breaking ball guy, and then their closer, 6'6", 220 right-hander, for a freshman that's 97, 98. So you got to stay ahead. And for Auburn, they just got to get a couple of those two out of his to fall. I mentioned that. You know, they've had guys on base, but they got to get those guys in. So you got to take advantage of opportunities. I would not be surprised tonight, you know, if Auburn has – hey, runner on third, less than two outs, to see them, you know, sacrifice their safety squeeze or do some things to try to create some of those runs. They give up an out for a run. I think that you do that right now. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Auburn do some of those things. Try to just, hey, let's tack on everyone we can get and then see what happens. So, but to me, that's the key. They got to take advantage of those opportunities when they get them.
Jason Caldwell from Inside the Auburn Tigers is our guest here on a Friday Sports Call. You can follow him on Twitter at ITAT. Jason, we learned a little bit earlier today officially that Sharif Cooper would be declaring for the NBA draft and signing with an agent. He posted this two-minute video on Instagram. Jason, we thought this was coming, but what did you think now that it's official?
Yeah, not a big surprise. I think when you look at it, I think he's a guy that you know, wants that opportunity to play professional basketball, and now he's got a chance to solidify himself as a first rounder when they go to these camps and do some of these things. So I think that's going to be the key for him, is, you know, what he does from now on, because he's not going to be 6'6", and he's not going to be this physical presence. He's got to go out and show him. And, you know, I think, you know, the question marks for him are going to be ones that we've talked about. You know, can he consistently knock down an open shot? Can he handle the physical side of the game? And then defensively, how does he do against those bigger guys that he's going to face in the NBA? He'll have to answer those questions. And, you know, if you're Auburn, you know, I think you knew it already in terms of, hey, we're going to have to go heavy into the portal. Basketball's changed. I heard you guys talking earlier about, you know, 25% of, you know, college basketball right now is in the transfer portal. My guess is we'll be 40% before this thing's over with. I think we'll get to 2,000 by the time these next couple of months are done. I think we'll get there. And you're talking about 40% of 4,500 or so, you know, 13 scholarships per team, 351 teams. You're going to see so much turnover, so much change for Auburn. You know, you got some pieces in place to have a strong team. But it's unfortunate. It's just the way of the world and the way college basketball is for now and the foreseeable future, is that you don't know what your team's going to look like next year until you step on the court in October. You know, it's going to change for everybody, and it's going to be a drastic change for most teams.
That was really going to be my next question to you, Jason, was the 25% of scholarships out there in the transfer portal. And that was you said that we brought you up in that conversation as well, because you brought up worries a couple of weeks ago. And I was going to say, well, your worries have been amplified if the number's gone up to 25%, and it looks like it can continue to rise.
Yeah, I think it's going to go up. And, you know, I mentioned it, you know, when you look at it, when you talk about the game itself, I don't think college football has a problem yet, because there's so many more players, there's so many more guys on a roster, mm-hmm. that it doesn't seem as bad if you lose 6, 7, even 10. In basketball, you start losing 4 or 5, and you change it every year. I'm a guy that, you know, growing up through high school, for me in the 80s, you know, Big Tuesday, I watched Big East basketball, and then it was a Big 10 game after, or a Big 12. You know, SEC was then Wednesday night and Saturday afternoon. And then Thursday night, you got to see a Pac-12. I watched college basketball a lot. I've mm-hmm. done it my whole life. I watched, even as hungry as people were for sports to come back this year, I watched less college basketball than ever this year, because when you turn on a game, you don't know who you're watching. You can see the uniform, but you don't know the players. You know, used to, you turned on a game, you knew, oh, this guy's going to be back for Duke next year. They're going to be really good, or Kentucky, or UCLA. Now you don't know where that guy's going to be next year. And I think they're losing that identity, and now it's become where teams, you know, it's always been about rooting for your school, but you've also had people that just like, man, I'm going to watch Duke because I know who this guy is. Or you don't know that anymore. Right. And I think the casual college basketball fan loses a little bit more interest every day, and I think it's a danger time for the sport because of that.
Without a doubt. It's Jason Caldwell joining us here on the program. One more thought on Sharif before we get going. Jason, you might have heard us talking about this a little bit earlier. We wanted your comment on it, though, as well. Talking about Sharif's decision to go to the next level and whether or not it's the right decision is an entire long conversation that we could get into. But the things that you mentioned, just Sharif Cooper, the physical person that he is, Auburn had no shot, nobody does, in changing how tall he is or something like that, right? I mean, there's no way that you could come back and here's this magic juice for you not to be your height.
No, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of like Peyton Barber. When Peyton Barber was a junior and decided, okay, I had a big season, mm-hmm. I'm going to turn pro. Peyton Barber wasn't going to be a guy that was going to run a 4-4. Wasn't who he was. He wasn't going to change that much in terms of his draft stock. Sharif, I do think he was not going to get bigger, but I do think he could have improved his draft stock if he comes out and he becomes a prolific three-point shooter. I think he's a guy that could help himself because of that. I don't think that's, you know, obviously his size and what he does. I think when you look at it, he's a guy that can improve some of those things, not the measurables, but he can improve the intangibles. Now he's got to go prove that against the best basketball players in the world.
Completely off topic, unrelated to Auburn, but a big story going on in college basketball. I need your two cents on it, Jason, as we're talking about college hoops and that sort of thing. How did Jason Caldwell react to Chris Beard leaving Texas Tech to go to Texas?
Not a surprise. This is, I mean, it shows you the power of money and big programs. I mean, Texas Tech played in the national championship game.
They've and it kind of fit his personality to make a move like that when you just have seen Chris Beard over the years.
Yeah, I mean, they Texas Tech has been as good as anybody. Yeah. And when you go, okay, I think I'm going to – okay, you make a move like that if you think you can be better. They've been in the national championship game. I think the pressure ramps up. Sometimes bigger isn't always better. And in this case, I don't think it is. I think he had what he had at Texas Tech, and he was coaching the kind of players he needed to coach. I mean, he's a Bobby Knight guy. He fits that mold of grind it out, not necessarily having a bunch of NBA guys, mm-hmm. but guys that do. Texas is going to be recruiting a different type of player. He's going to get different type of talent. Well, they fit that mold. We've seen Indiana try to do it differently, and they haven't had that success. The only success they've had was when Mike Davis was a coach who coached like Bobby Knight, who brought in the same type of players that Bobby Knight did. That's the only real success Indiana's had since he left. It's hard. Sometimes programs are built away, and coaches are built that way. I'll be interested to see because, you know, we've seen Texas go after the hot guy time and time again and it not work. I'll be interested to see how it works for him. He's a great coach, no question about it. Different type of guy he's going to be coaching now, and how will that work?
You think anybody's going to beat UConn on the women's side when we get to the Final Four here?
I tell you what, this South Carolina-Stanford game is interesting. South Carolina's really good. Stanford, to do what they did the other night, to come back from as big as they were down to a really good basketball team, watch some of Stanford this year. They're extremely talented. I think they've got the size. This UConn team isn't as dominant. They got the best player in the country, but I think if Stanford gets there, I think South Carolina would have a shot too, but I really think Stanford's the team that might match up the best.
Jason, always do appreciate the time. What can folks expect at AUTigers.com these days?
Yep, obviously, lots of football as we kind of ramp back up towards, getting back on the field again next week for spring practice. We got that baseball tonight. Have that, and then always recruiting. Went over to Central Phoenix City yesterday, got some thoughts from some of their top guys that been kind of having some of those here in the next few days as well. So check us out there at AUTigers.com, 247 Auburn site, and follow me on Twitter at ITATJason.
You're the absolute best. We look forward to doing this again soon. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Easter Sunday with your wife and the little one, Jason. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.